Hi, my name is John Kim. I'm a therapist who went through his own rebirth many years ago, and I've been documenting my journey ever since, sharing my life lessons and revelations. I believe in casual over clinical, with you instead of at you. I come unrehearsed on purpose because self-help doesn't have to be so complicated. Celebrity dating coach Damona Hoffman has been coaching singles since I've been breakdancing in the 80s. No, that's not true. Man, she's been coaching singles for over 15 years, which blows my mind.
Because I look so much younger than that.
You're
like, you've been doing that since you were a child. It's true.
Do you know what's happened in 15 years? I mean, just think about the landscape of the world and how much it's changed. But we're going to get into that. So 15 years she's been coaching people on dating on and offline. Her articles appear regularly in the LA Times, the Washington Post. Plus, she's a regular contributor, on-air contributor to the Drew Barrymore Show, NPR, and NBC's Access Daily. Damona also starred in two TV shows, A&E Network's Hashtag Black Love and A Question of Love. Her weekly podcast, Dates and Mates, has been featured in Cosmopolitan, Huffington Post, Bustle, and tops the charts in the relationship category on her major podcast platforms. You've been at this for a long time. And also, I love that it is so specific. Like, I know you do many things, but, you know, dating, it's a category that, yes, it's wide, but it's also very specific, which I love.
Well, and even more specifically, I began with the dating apps. Like, I met my husband online. We've been married 15 years, so I'm not even going to tell you what year I met him on. It's not even a dating app. I met him online. So
was it an AOL chat room?
No, it wasn't that.
On dial-up? No,
it was an actual, it was a dating website. It was called nerve.com. Mm. I don't know if you remember it.
No.
Some people that were, we'll call them early adopters. That's the nice right, term right. We were on. And I kind of grew up with this technology, and I became a dating coach totally by accident because I realized that I had a secret sauce. I had a way to help people optimize their dating profiles to ultimately get what they want. And so I've added on all of the other elements, because you have to be able to coach people on a lot of other things for them to be successful in dating ultimately. But I still remain true to the core, which was that dating apps really are the gateway to connection. I work with OkCupid now, and right. I always have my clients use that as a foundation of their dating plans.
Okay, this is a great place to start, because dating apps are controversial. On one hand, because you're very pro dating apps, of
True.
Course, right? You
course.
Found someone on your love on a dating app, and then you help people use that as a tool. So, you know, it's a double-edged sword, because I feel like, yes, of course we should use technology because it's so convenient. A lot of us don't have time to actually, you know, go out and you know, the energy and effort it takes to meet people. At the same time, dating apps can, I always say use a little spoon, meaning when you go to the ice cream store and they give you that little red taster spoon with dating apps, because a lot of times we swipe, we tie that to our worth. If we don't get swiped, you know, back, or if people don't respond to our messages, there's this internalization that can be dangerous, you know. And then, of course, like false advertising, catfished, or being catfished, ghosted, all of that stuff from dating apps. So tell us why dating apps are good. And then after that, we're going to go into how can you use it in a way that is healthy and not, you know, sabotaging.
Yeah. Well, yes, I am a big fan of dating apps because I do see how they work, but I'm also very transparent about how they are a double-edged sword. So we can certainly talk about the pros and cons, because really dating apps are an amplifier. They amplify what is already happening in your life, in society, feelings that you are already having, because what they've done is really sped up the dating and connection process. And they have increased the choices that you had. Like back in the day, back when I started online dating, you remember the old ways of, you know, being up in the club and having to get the confidence to talk to someone.
To go ask for the phone number. Right.
That was a high barrier for entry. And even when I first started online dating, like, John, I had to go to Kinko's.
What is
not
Kinko's?
Even FedEx Kinko's. Not right. even Wait. FedEx Kinko's, not FedEx. I had to go to Kinko's to scan my photo in to get on the dating website.
Oh, right. And you were on your way to you were on your way to Blockbuster to return the VHS videos.
No joke.
That you forgot to unwind.
No joke. Blockbuster was literally across the street from the Kinko's that I went to.
Right.
Which I later went to with my husband many times when we were dating. But I digress. That was extremely embarrassing and a very high barrier for entry because I didn't even know how to scan. I didn't know how to do it. I had to ask this guy at Kinko's, like, can you please help me? And like, obviously I felt to me like it was obvious the reason I was scanning my photos. But as technology has improved and people, it's become more accessible. Now anyone with a phone anywhere, anytime can get online. So
yes,
it's flooded the market with a lot of people with different intentions. And so I really look at dating apps are, they're just the tool, but you have to know how to use the tool. So I'm not a construction person. My handyman's here right now because I can't do any of that tool stuff, but I do know that if I used a hammer for something, like I was trying to cut a piece of wood and I'm trying to use a hammer, it's going to take a lot longer. I'm going to get exhausted. I'm going to get frustrated. I might give up. If I'm using a saw and I'm using the right tool, if I'm using an electric saw, like that's going to be even more efficient. So people are out here saying they're on the dating apps and just doing whatever, having no clarity, no intention, no process, no plan, and then frustrated with the results. And then they want to blame the dating app.
The hammer, really, right? They're bringing the tool.
Blaming the hammer.
Yes.
But really it's all about a lot of stuff that you talk about. It's all about looking inward and having more self-awareness and what's uncomfortable about dating apps is that it amplifies all of those dark places that we're afraid to look into.
Yeah. And I've never heard it put that way before, that dating apps are like alcohol. They amplify what's happening. They can be a black light in a way. So if you're already feeling insecure and lonely, don't blame it on the app because it's just going to amplify that, right?
Well, yeah, don't
depending on how you
on
use
app,
it.
That's not helpful for you to have a negative attitude about it, right?
So how do you so let's talk about how we go into using dating apps.
Yeah. So mindset is where I start all my clients.
Yep.
Like
yep.
We get absolute clarity on not just what are you looking for? People come to me with a list a mile long, but they'll say, I'll know it when I see it. If you haven't seen it yet, maybe you won't. Mm. So we always spend time getting into the mindset of how do you want to feel in your relationship? Because it might not come in the package that you're expecting.
Mm-hmm.
But if you spend time figuring out the feeling you want, you will recognize that feeling when it's presented back to you.
Yeah. You know, The thing, and maybe we could start with profiles because a lot of questions I get is, how do I present myself in a way that's honest, but also that's attractive, you know?
Yeah.
Profiles and also photos.
Yeah. Honesty is definitely key. And that's like the foundation of everything is authenticity. And I know this from my own experience. Like I grew up in the Midwest, much like you, John. I was not like the other people. One of these things is not like the other. Like the standard of beauty was very different. I grew up in an all white neighborhood. I am biracial. I am bicultural, bi-religious. I did not fit in that way. I did not have a date to prom. I did not understand at that time that those things that made me different or weird in that setting were actually some of the same things that would make me attractive to the right people. And it took me a long time to come to that realization. So I really have people lean into the things that are weird about you. Like if you love Comic-Con, go ahead and like put a picture of you in your cosplay. Or if you legitimately, like, I know you're very into fitness, you know, you want to show that honestly. The problem is then when people be out here lying, thinking that, oh, if I look like I work out or I look like right. I hike, that will right. be more attractive. And I've just learned firsthand that when you are dating from a place of a false narrative or, mm-hmm. or even feeling like you have to change yourself. Oh, I gotta get plastic surgery or, you know, change how I look in order to be attractive. It will be a false attraction because ultimately we're all seeking connection. And if you get to the date and that person's like, you don't look like your photos, or you get yeah. into the relationship and they're like, wait, you said you like doing these things. That was totally fake. Then the relationship can't continue. It's built on a lie. We don't want that.
Yeah, I always say, wouldn't you rather your date be pleasantly surprised than instantly disappointed? Whether that is false advertising or the photo you posted where, you know, it was like the best photo you've ever taken in your life. And so I think you said it, it's honesty. It's about presenting yourself in a way that's real and not false, right? You don't want to filter yourself in any way because they're meeting you in person. They're yeah. going to know.
Yeah. I mean, there are definitely the catfish out there that are just looking for that they have different intentions. But if your mm-hmm. intention is to meet someone for any type of relationship, you're exactly right. You want them to, you want their expectations to be in alignment. So I have people when we're crafting profiles, I have people really focus on telling a story. Mm-hmm. Like you are pulling pieces of your life. You're like the museum curator of your life. And I have everyone focus on, I have three C's. So the three C's are color, context, and character. Ooh. Color strategic. Mm-hmm. Like I have right now, I have color in the background.
Yes, you're glowing, a glowing pink.
Glowing pink. Yeah. Pink. I am a pink enthusiast, but you know, biologically, actually the color red does mm-hmm. attract the eye, and we think of how it shows up in other areas of society, stop signs, stop lights, it's stop and pay attention. So you don't have to have red, but having a bold color is strategically a good play in your, especially in your primary photo, in the first photo.
Ooh, I've never heard this before. This is great. Oh, okay.
So, I'm writing a book on it right now.
a bold color in your primary photo. That's great. Okay. What else?
Yes. And then we get into the context. This is telling your story through your photos. So like I was saying earlier, showing the fitness, showing like even right. people think, right. oh, well, I'm not outgoing or outdoorsy. I don't do any of that stuff. I'm like, show yourself reading a book in your, I was going to say in your bed, but that's maybe a little bit too much, but really just show you in your natural habitat.
Yeah.
With one caveat, you are the star of your profile. So I don't want to see all these pictures.
Oh, with other friends. People and friends. Yeah.
Like we get it. You yeah, yeah. know other people.
Yeah. Some people post photos where you have to try to guess which one is the one. Like I don't, there's like five people in this photo. So
yes, that's a no. One, that's right? a definite no. And then the last C is character. And this is the one most people forget. This is that quirky, that unusual side, that sense of humor. Let that show through because it's been shown, and I can look at the OkCupid historical data and tell you that when people are like nice, pleasant, attractive in the middle, they actually get fewer messages than if they were polarizing. If there were people that were like, "Ooh, I love this person," and people that were like, "Oh, I hate that person," they get, because of the people who are highly interested, they mm-hmm. also see this person's kind of different. They think maybe I have lower competition, and also this person is a better match for me. So you're more likely to match and have it's not a popularity contest. A lot of people think like, oh, I just need a bunch of matches. No, you don't need a bunch of matches. You need the right matches. You need people who are invested in messaging you, who are actually going to follow through. And that those kind of photos are the ones that usually get that result.
You said something really important. Because we've been trained because of social media, you know, followers, likes, and you know, that whole scoreboard thing. dating apps isn't about how many people like you. It's about the right people liking you, what you just said. And I think that's huge, because a lot of times we get caught up in how many people have swiped on us, or how many people's messages, you know, and then so we translate those numbers into if that's like data for our attractiveness, and that is not the case. It doesn't matter how many people, you know what, two people can swipe on you, but if that one is the one that's for you, then there we go, right?
Yeah, it's if you're not Polly, we're only looking for one.
Right.
We're only looking for one, so we can't get caught up in the no's. This is another thing that I end up working with my clients a lot on. We think, oh, I did all of this. I sent all of these messages. I swiped right on all of these people. And people will say to me, no one swiped right. No one matched me. No one messaged me back.
Yeah.
And then I look at it and I say, was it no one, or was it just not the people that you were hoping for?
Right.
Or is it that you're caught up in this numbers game? And once we step away from that and remember that it's like, I say, if that person is not for you, I tell my clients, thank and release them. Like, just energetically, mm-hmm. don't get caught up on this fantasy idea of the person that didn't happen. Focus on what's in front of you right now, because I guarantee you, if they didn't respond back, they weren't enthusiastic, that's not your person. That's just it's deferred drama.
Yeah.
You know, if you're getting all caught up into chasing that person. So I have my clients like literally set goals of how many people they're going to match, how many people they're going to message, because the average response rate is about 30%. That's for women, for men, talking about heterosexual, it is even less.
Mm.
And so if you tell me that you sent 10 messages this week and you only got 3 responses, I'm going to tell you, you're doing great.
Right. Yeah. Right.
You're focused on the 7 that didn't respond. You've got 3 people that are excited to talk with you. Don't throw that away.
I love that you have these numbers, because it's really important. That's a great example. If you swiped on 10 people and only 3 responded, yeah, I would feel like, oh, what about the other 7? I would focus on the people that didn't swipe and why and what's wrong with me. But you're saying 30% is the norm. So it's okay.
It's not only okay, it's great, because yes, we didn't want those 7.
Yeah.
We didn't want that drama. I mean, how many times have you like chased an idea? I certainly did when I was single. Like, I told myself that this was the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I built in my head this whole expectation of what was going to happen. And then, you know, Anne Lamott says expectations are just resentments waiting to happen. And the more that you do that and you set that expectation for yourself and it's not met, the more resentment you build. And that's why we get the negative feelings around online dating.
Yeah, because the resentment is towards something and it's going to be the app. And then what they do is they go the other way. They delete it. They go from trying it once or twice to completely delete it off their phone and making this promise they're never going to, you know, use the dating apps again.
Yeah. And I do want to acknowledge it does take a lot of effort to do this right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I don't want to downplay anyone that's just like burned out or frustrated or feels like they're putting in the effort. It always surprises my clients when I tell them, you know what, take a break, take a dating break, because they think I'm always about the dating strategy and the dating plan and go get it all the time. I am not. It's all about how you feel. If you feel depleted and burned out, take a break. But here's the thing, you got to set a date when you're going to come back to it.
Mm.
And it's just like, you know, any other goal that you have in life, like you can take a little reprieve, but if you don't have a plan to get back into it, you're not going to have that motivation to continue to pursue it. And then that echo chamber in your brain continues to play of like, oh, I never get matches online. Mm-hmm. There's so much in this mindset work that I do of the narratives that we tell ourselves that really get in our way of our own happiness.
Yes. I experienced some of this when I was single, and, I almost found Instagram to be a better dating app, or at least for me, because you could see someone's feed and see years of it. Like you could actually see their character arc. You could see their evolution. You could see who they were. It's like this whole documentary instead of seeing just the trailer of their story.
Yeah, well, it is going down in the DMs, John. So I have been talking about this a lot on Dates and Mates lately too.
Yeah.
There is also a way to use Instagram as your dating app. There's also a way like Facebook groups are great for this. And really any platform can be a dating app because what we're doing is we're creating community, right? We're creating community in different ways. So for, you know, in back in the 80s, you had a couple options to meet someone. Like maybe you met through friends, you met them at the bar, you went to church with them, or you lived down the street. Like, you know, we look back at census data from 100 years ago and people were meeting and marrying people who lived within 5 blocks.
Right.
I'm not even making this up.
Like, yeah, not a lot of choices.
This is actual data within 5 blocks. And so now I just see that there's tremendous opportunity. But as you know, from all of the social media that you do, each platform has a different tone, has a different kind of community. So you do have to kind of learn how to navigate and how to speak in the language of that platform.
Let's talk about messaging. Are you supposed to get them off the app as fast as you can? Meaning should they, if they find someone, there's some connection, is it, you know, a long conversation via messaging or let's meet for coffee. Let's meet in person as fast as we can.
Well, I mean, you're supposed to get them off the app as quickly as possible. If you're the Tinder swindler, you know, like, but I will say I do have my clients make a move within the first week. Of matching.
Yeah, I agree. I think just talking on the app, it's not right. Then people just don't meet.
Yeah, the speed of dating has definitely, that's the biggest thing that's changed. So remember like in Swingers, that was like my favorite movie. They were like, I'm going to wait 3 days. I'm going to wait 3 days.
There's all these rules, right? When to call back.
You cannot
and all
that, wait 3 days. The average response time to any text is 90 seconds. 90 seconds. So when you think about that in the dating space, there's so much, we are already worried, concerned. We're already feeling insecure. Mm-hmm. And the longer the time goes, the more that builds up. So you do have to strike while the iron is hot and build that momentum. But I'm very, I talk a lot about dating safety as well. So I have my clients keep their communication within the app as much as possible until they
So you could see it, right? So you track
it. Yeah. Because that's the thing, like the Tinder swindler did. Once he connected with someone, he moved them immediately to WhatsApp. Once you go to WhatsApp, the app doesn't know what's happening. They can't track you. They don't have their location. And it becomes very, very hard for the two technology companies even to correlate their data.
So I'm not familiar with the swindler. Was that a serial killer?
No, he's a scammer. He was an Uber scam artist. There was a Netflix documentary that was very popular a couple months ago.
For money or for what? What did he scam?
Oh yeah, he would have. He had multiple women giving him money, taking out loans, so that he could buy private jets to fly other women to fancy places, so that he could get them on the hook to give them more money and just keep this whole charade going. He also was on Instagram and he had built this whole persona. So he's an extreme. A lot of people like pointing to that right now and saying to me like, oh, but it's an online dating. Isn't it a bunch of scammers?
Right.
The more likely scenario is that you'll just be disappointed. You'll just be like, I just didn't like that person, or that person just like wasn't interesting. That's the more likely disappointing scenario, but you do have to be safe. And especially like, you know, I'm always telling my male clients, you have to think about women's safety. You need, like, your job is to make sure the woman feels safe. Mm-hmm. And for the women, I give them all of these tips of like how you need to Google before the date and do a little bit of due diligence to make sure that you can just go to the date, show up, be yourself and be comfortable and not be worried about the safety or the outcomes or all of that stuff.
Once you meet someone that you want to invest in, what do you recommend from there? So you have found someone, you're curious. Do you stop looking or do you kind of go all in? What are the signs?
I like that you phrase the question in that way, that you are curious. And that's what I have my clients focus on for their dates. Lead with curiosity. So within the first date, you don't need to know if you're going to marry them. You don't need to be like, okay, well, I'm going to go off of the apps now. You stay in curiosity for 3 dates. That's my rule. I have a 3-date rule. If you're still curious, at the end of the first date, you just need to be curious enough about that person to spend another date with them.
So you respond in 90 seconds. You stay curious for three days. Are you writing this down if you're listening? By the way, speaking of texting, I hate when people say, oh, just seeing this. It's like, bullshit. You're not just seeing this. You got this text yesterday. Just seeing this. Come on.
We have such a communication. That's funny because I almost, I didn't get your first email and I almost was like, oh my God, I just saw this.
Email's different. Right? Email can slip.
Not to send it. It did
email's
slip.
Different.
It did slip, but I was on it. I was on it. I responded right away once I saw the second email. We're really in a communication crisis right now. I think this is the biggest issue. Like, we blame dating apps. We blame social media. The real issue is that we are losing empathy. And we're losing the ability to truly communicate with one another. I feel like I just got like real serious.
It's okay. I'm coming with you because it can be serious. Yes, what is connecting us is also the wall or things that we can hide behind, right? Mm-hmm. Think about how many ways we can be connected. DM, email, text. I mean, people can connect us in so many different ways, and depending on what you know platforms you're on, it's crazy. I got to work on this. I take things very personally. If someone doesn't text me back, I'm already in my head, you know, thinking about how this friendship's over and how I need to, you know, whatever. And it's like, oh, I was, you know, I lost my phone or I did, you know. So it's easy to go into you know, this kind of thinking and spiraling, especially when it's romantic, especially when you're dating and there isn't a lot of communication and, you know, people are left in the dark.
Well, it's interesting because I was going to say, as you're getting into the relationship, I do encourage my clients to sort of practice what they call slow love or slow dating and space out the interactions so that you can really get clarity on how you feel about that person in between the dates. But with overload
that.
Of the communication.
Wait, you're sending out so many nuggets of gold. I got to pause you.
Okay.
The reason why you slow down and you pause is so you can get a sense of who they are in the spaces that are still, right? Is that, that's what you're saying. That's why you space it out.
Instead of spending
all day with them for 3 days in a row, right?
No, I
don't space
that
shit out.
Okay. That. And they'll tell me, oh, I had a great first date. We were together for 5 hours. We were here and then we decided to go and have drinks together. And then we had 3 more drinks. And then I'm like not a good date. Too much.
Eat the donut slow. Don't shove the whole thing in your mouth. Right.
No, you'll get a tummy ache.
Yeah. So experience people like that in smaller bits and keep your mindset on curious. And then when you, in between those spaces, sit with yourself and see how you feel about those interactions instead of a crazy weekend, you know, getaway somewhere that's happening too soon and too long.
Yeah. And I'll tell you one thing that really is the killer in between those spaces, and then another tip for best practices for communication. The killer in between is these texts. And by the way, I was not advocating for people to send texts in 90 seconds. I'm just saying that's the average of overall. That's like your mom, your boss, everything.
Right.
So, you know, I'd say usually respond within 24 hours to someone, but, if you are texting in between these dates, think of it this way. You think that you're getting to know them better, but you're actually developing a false sense of intimacy. And then you get to the date and you're like, why didn't it have the magic that text had? Because you told them all, you talked about everything. You had such a low, like we have such a low inhibition threshold when we are texting, we say whatever, right? And then you would never have said those things or revealed those things that are really personal and deep about yourself if you were sitting across from that person?
You know what? I was dating this person once, and I remember she sent a text, and I think it was kind of a deep, thought-provoking question. I just finished a workout. I was literally upside down doing handstand push-ups, and I said to myself, I would answer that later. So I said something more casual, and then later on, she said, "Oh, you're immature. Like, you don't want to face hard questions." And it wasn't that, it was just, I wasn't in that space to answer that kind of question. And so things like that can happen where via text, there's miscommunication, there's projection, there's all of the, you know, just distorted connection. And then when you see the person, you've now made all these assumptions about them that are not accurate.
Yes. And when you're in, especially when you're in the early phase of dating, you don't know that person's sense of humor. You don't know their style.
Right, the tone.
Yeah. And you're stealing from your next date is what you're doing.
Yes.
So try, and because everyone's like, I get so many questions on dates and mates, like, how do I say this? So I'll give you the language right now. Say, "I would love to tell you more about that when I see you in person or on our next date." And then you're building anticipation.
Yes.
So that's the other thing that has to happen in between those dates.
You know what? It's also a compliment. So if I got that, I would be like, oh, they're actually flirting with me. They want to see me again. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so, add a winky emoji too. And then that will just add on to it. I'm a big fan of emojis. I don't know how you feel.
Yeah, I love emojis. I didn't before, but now it's just a whole nother layer of communication. And you could have fun with them and be very creative.
Yes, I say, like, emojis are good. Memes are even better sometimes. And
well, here's the rule.
Gifts are the best.
Yes. Okay. I love this. So the emojis are great, but there can't be more emojis than words.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I'm saying? You can't say one word and 15 emojis, because now you're like, all right, was this middle school?
No, I say they are mood modifiers. So you use them in place
use them
of
as punctuation. Yes.
We just said that at the same time.
We're on the same. See, we're on the same. And then what's the next one you said?
Memes. I said memes.
Yes. Now,
means humor.
It's humor. So some of that can slip if you don't have the same sense of humor. Me and my partner have very different sense of humor. I'm dry. I'm inappropriate. She's just different. So if we're not in person, I mean, we would never even make it to the second date because our humor, you know, on the phone doesn't translate well. And then gifts are funny if you're creative. If it's not something that we've already seen 5,000 times.
So it's, totally. But I use them as communication tools. So you use it in place because it adds additional context that the text alone cannot. But yes, this is, it's a skill that needs to be developed. And you have to find your own communication voice in the digital space.
Yeah.
And this is something that, as I've been coaching people, it's like 16 years now, I've had to walk people through. I used to say texting is for information and not conversation. And I've really had to walk
that
back.
Yes.
I've had to walk it back because it's just so deeply ingrained in our society and our modes of communication. Like, and on apps, people use that as a signifier of now things are progressing.
Mm-hmm.
If I get your phone number and now we're moving off the app, I got her.
In not information, conversation. I love that. So you're not texting, how are you doing? You're texting, hey, this is where we're going to meet next, right? You're texting information, not conversation. Hey,
that's
remember
what I used to say, but I feel like it's a little bit of both now, but just keep that in your mind as it's, you want to be driving towards the in-person.
Well, if it's conversation, I think it's, like a rock skimming across the lake conversation, right? I don't think it's sitting in front of someone having coffee conversation. I think texting is really powerful and can be fun when you're a touch and go conversation and there's like a cadence and dance to it, you know?
Yeah.
That feels good. But remember back in the day when phones were actually, on the wall and they had cords, we used to talk to like our high school sweetheart or whoever we were had a crush with for like 6-7 hours. I mean, like all night, just on the phone talking, saying nothing and just being yourself. Remember those days?
I miss the phone. I actually encourage my clients to use a phone call. So There's a step that we skipped, John, that's very important.
Sorry.
No, I skipped over it, but I think it's important to share with your audience. Between the texting, messaging on the app and the date, I have my clients do a screening step. So it's a phone call. It can be a video chat.
During the pandemic,
things changed so dramatically because then everyone was doing the screening step and everyone was doing video. But video is a lot of information. Now I see your dirty drawers in the chair behind you. Yeah. I see, you know, your kid running around, your cats, like whatever. It's a lot of information. So I kind of like to dole out the information as people earn it about you. So it can be very intimate to invite someone into your space via video. And I would rather have a Zoom or a FaceTime than nothing prior to the first date. But I still think the phone call is way underrated because you can get a sense of that person's sense of humor, their cadence. You can check for safety that things match up with what they've said in their profile. They can talk about it authentically. And then just like 15 minutes and then say, you know what, this is, I'm too excited. I just really want to meet you. And by the way, in saying that, let's show some enthusiasm. Like everybody's just playing it so cool. Nobody wants to be vulnerable.
Yes.
Open up
yes.
And
like fronting and games. Right. And it's like, you're not playing chess. You should be excited and actually express that excitement.
Yeah.
You're
and
funny.
What do you lose?
You're cute. You're attractive. Like I'm excited to meet you. Well, you know, it's hard to say that because it makes you vulnerable and it makes you feel like exposed, you know, and you're scared now that if they don't stay back, it's going to hurt you and all that.
But what do you really lose? Like if you don't know this person and you just tell them you're excited to meet them, I'm legitimately asking, John, what do you lose by them saying like, oh, I'm not really that into it. Then it's like, okay. Like the pickup artist, I also studied a lot of the pickup artist technique and they do approaches. By the way, I'm not advocating for any kind of pickup artist, anything,
right.
But what they do with their clients is they practice approaches. You do 50 approaches in a night and you're going to get maybe 10 phone numbers. This is like the old school.
Right.
Because each time you open up a little bit more, you're a little more vulnerable and you're a little less interested in controlling the outcome. You separate yourself from whatever their response is. They're either going to be into it or they're not, but you can't get hung up on the no before it's even happened.
I think those, which is a 5 or 50, it's the runway. It's the practice actually for one to feel comfortable with self. And I think that's where the power is. So it's not so much about what you say or any kind of like game. It's not what comes out of your mouth. It's how you show up, I think.
Totally. And 90% of our communication is nonverbal anyway. So
I have a funny story for you. So a friend of mine back in the day, he was at this coffee shop and he walked past this girl and he said, holy shit, that's the most beautiful girl I've ever seen. He turned back and he kind of kneeled down next to her. And in doing so, he ripped his pants. And so it was obvious. It made the noise and right up his ass, his pants ripped. And he was like, and instead of trying to hide it, he looked at her and he said, I wanted to talk to you because I think you're stunning, but my ass, you know, my ass is showing now. I ripped my pants, which made her laugh. And then they went out that night. The girl was Megan Fox before she was famous. And the guy was just one of my friends, a friend of a friend. And, it didn't last, but they went out to a date and everything because she laughed hysterically at how he showed up, which obviously, assuming someone like Megan Fox would get a lot of men throwing lines at her, this guy ripped his pants and said, my ass is coming out of my pants, but I think you're hot.
Love that. And he was authentic.
Like, yes, that's what I meant. He was authentic.
Oh, just own what's happening too. Like sometimes people are always asking me like, what's a good pickup line? I'm like, it's totally situational.
Yeah.
It's what do you notice about that person? what's happening outside? What else is happening in the coffee shop that you can laugh about? What can you ask them about? Like, it's just, you're just connecting. You can't think about, my goal is to go out with this beautiful woman and then I have to come up with the most perfect pickup line, because then you're never going to do it. Then you're just going to be standing there on the sidelines going, I wish I could have, what if? And if you just seize the moment, I actually have, when I'm doing my coaching programs with my clients, I have them do improv. That's part of my flirting coaching training.
It's practice.
It's practice, because when you do improv, you cannot, you, once it comes out of your mouth, that's it. Like, you can't be thinking too much.
Yeah. You got to just be.
You got to be. And you got to be in your body and you're out of your
whatever choices you make, you have to go all in.
All in. Yes. Right? And
you can't stutter or be ambivalent.
Or if you stutter, you commit to it fully. And like,
yeah, exactly.
Like,
right,
you rip your pants.
Yeah.
Be fully committed to the pants ripping.
Yes.
I say own the elephant in the room. Yeah. Like, that was the pants were the elephant in the room. What a gift that his pants ripped.
I don't think he would have gotten a date. I mean, what could he have said to someone like that who, you know, gets all the compliments every day? I mean, you're so beautiful, all that. What else? What could he have said? Like, I think that was the reason why he got the date, because going back to this idea of emotion, he moved her. He made her laugh.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah. If you can move an emotion in someone.
Yes.
From the first date, like, even sometimes it's not even a great emotion. Like, I remember when I did speed dating, remember that speed dating? Mm-hmm. There was this guy, like, not even really that cute, but we had 5 minutes, and somehow within those 5 minutes, we had like three fights and disagreements about, I don't even know, like, what.
Right.
So, you know what I did? I was like, I'm gonna put this number down, and we matched and we went out for like a month. It didn't last, but it was that emotion that he stirred in me where I was like, oh, this is interesting.
Oh, it drew you to him, the fights.
Yeah. It was not good. I have much more clarity now on,
yeah,
like,
that's interesting.
Good attractors or bad attractors.
Or red flags.
And that's actually a pickup artist technique too. Negging, where they like insult and,
yeah.
You know,
yeah. I hear like, if someone's very attractive and that's all they're used to getting compliments, and you go the other way kind of thing. Right.
Yeah, but don't do that. Don't nag. Don't nag. But yeah, stir an emotion in someone. But honestly, it's just about an authentic connection. Because even though Megan Fox may have hundreds of guys approach her a day, I bet you she doesn't actually.
Well, yeah, because she's, if guys are they're intimidated. Absolutely, I think women who are aesthetically very attractive, men actually don't go near because they're too scared to get rejected.
Exactly. So even just an honest, like, I'm sure you get this all the time, but I wanted to come up and talk to you. Not because you're beautiful, but you just seem really interesting. And I just wanted to introduce myself. That alone.
That's so great. That's such a, just a,
ahead of most of the guys that are just like shaking in their boots, splitting their pants.
And this isn't just for dating. Make this a non-negotiable for you in life. Just state your truth, whatever your truth is. So instead of overthinking it or what is he or she gonna say back, what is your truth? And if your truth is, I wanna talk to this person because he or she is interesting, or because if they are beautiful, sure. Whatever your truth is, just state it. Just state it for you, not even for them.
Yeah.
And then if they don't hit the ball back, they don't wanna play. And it's all, doesn't mean that you're not attractive or valuable. You're just not a good fit.
Yeah, that's really the key, is separating yourself from, like, it's not about your personal wealth, your personal value. It's about whether that is a match for that person, because you have no idea. That woman could have a boyfriend. She could be sitting there waiting to meet her boyfriend. She could be going through something emotionally. There could be a whole host of other things happening that may be the reason that she says no. You should never turn it inward and make it about you.
Yeah.
Of course, we do all the self work so that we can be the best version of ourselves when we approach people, when we make connections. But we're all learning, we're all growing in process. None of us is, and I know you talk about this a lot, and you write about this. Like, I believe that relationships are really how we learn.
Sure.
And so this is an opportunity rather than a chance to beat yourself up, or a reason to turn those daggers inward. Like, just look at it as it's just information. It's just an opportunity information that you can gain about yourself.
What about this idea of types? Should we, as a prescription, toss our types, date against type? I know with me, before I met Vanessa, I wanted to date people that I maybe normally wouldn't, you know? And I think I told you on your podcast, I wanted to wake up with someone that I didn't like, and I wanted to, ecstasy was, I've never done ecstasy before. And I hear all these rumors of, oh, when you're kissing someone or whatever, it's like, and I was like, okay, I want to try that. So there was a moment when I wanted to go crazy. I didn't get far, but because I met Vanessa and that was done. But what about using dating as a vehicle to explore and stretch yourself instead of like trying to find the one?
You definitely should do that.
Yeah.
And we're actually seeing that at OkCupid. There's been a big shift towards people dating against type. People are saying they're open to dating against type. Like, what is your type anyway? This is part of the book that I'm writing, which will not be out until 2024.
But what is the title of the book, and tell us what it's about?
Oh, it's called The Modern Love Myth: Fix Your Broken Beliefs, mm-hmm. Heal Your Broken Heart.
Love it.
And it's about deconstructing all of these beliefs that we have. And you know, I write a lot also about interracial dating, because people type, a lot of times people start with race when they're thinking about their type.
Right.
And many times it's by default, because they haven't actually defined or thought about why it is that they're attracted to people of the same race or the same religion or whatever it is that's on your list. And why you tend to attract the same thing. You have a type because you're attracted to the same thing, and you can see this through line between, you're creating kind of an invisible connector between these people that you date to tell a story to yourself about who mm-hmm. your type is. But our attractions come from our experiences. And so if you're only exposed to people of a particular race or background, you may think, oh, that's just what I'm into. That's what my type is. But you may have not given yourself the opportunity to explore against your type. And
I like
apps are excellent for that.
I like you grew up in a very white world. And I wish that wasn't true, because I feel like whether it's subconscious or not, I limited myself, you know, I'm attracted to all different types. But I don't know what it was, this pattern of, I think partly because I grew up in the 80s where Asian people weren't cool. So there's this kind of, if I can, be with, a white woman, then, you know, that's my ticket into the quad or being accepted, you know, so there's other layers to that too. But, I think how the environment we're raised in, how we were raised, all the programming, seeps inside us. And it definitely, I think it's important to be aware of that when we're out dating.
Yeah. And I just want to honor you for even acknowledging that, because I think a lot of times, that's a very vulnerable thing to admit and to even be willing to peer into. And look, I wrote an article about this for the Washington Post that I've gotten so much hate mail on. It would make your head spin. But I've gotten also people saying, thank you for opening my eyes to the fact that I haven't examined this attraction. I haven't examined my biases around, around whatever race, gender, even you know, we see a lot of people now also, we've seen a big shift in people identifying as bisexual, transsexual, non-binary also on OkCupid. And I think people are kind of waking up to the realization that whatever was fed to us before in stories, fairy tales, rom-coms, it may not be true for us right now. And the people who came before us, like, they had a lot of societal restrictions in place that we don't necessarily have to deal with. And due to the vastness of the internet, being able to connect people and being able to have communication outside of our immediate circle, we have an opportunity right now to expand our boundaries. So I'm kind of excited about that.
Yeah.
I will accept your hate mail at Damona Hoffman on Instagram. But I'm not interested in calling anyone names or being like, oh, if you don't date outside your race or if you only date white girls, you're racist. Like, that is not at all where I'm coming from on this. I'm just asking people to get curious.
Yeah.
I'm saying get curious about dating, get curious about yourself. Why is that? Why do you only date that one type? I just feel like my life has really been enhanced. I have a very multicultural background and I feel like my life is enhanced because I get, my sister-in-law is Indian American. I get to have chicken tikka masala for Thanksgiving dinner. My stepmother is Mexican American. I get chilaquiles. Like, I think I have a richer life because of all of the different people that I get to interact with.
Yeah, one of my single stretches, for the first time in my life, I dated an Asian woman, and I was in my 30s, you know, and then someone who was half Asian, and I was like, all right, now I got some. Let's do Benetton. I want to go, you know, and then of course I didn't get that far, but it's sad to me that when I look back, the conditioning and then my choices because of that conditioning, growing up in a very white world. But
you're looking at it, you're owning it. And we always have, like, every day is a new day. You always have a choice always have the option to choose differently.
Sure.
You know, so that's what's so exciting about dating apps for me as well. Like, there's always another swipe. There's always another date. Like, people will beat themselves up. Oh, I had a terrible date. Didn't go well. I said the wrong thing. Like, okay, now you have tomorrow. And like, my clients will say, oh, I don't want to, I was in this relationship and I tried online dating. I met this person even through online dating, but now we broke up and I don't want to have to go back to the pool again.
Yeah.
But like, the pool is there. When we think about even just how much has changed for, you know, a divorced woman in her 40s, a couple generations ago, like, you got to wait until somebody's wife dies or something, to catch yourself a man. Like, now you have opportunity. You have choice. Women have more choice in dating than they have ever had.
That's true.
But the choice does come with a lot of, you know, responsibility to, like, there's a lot of micro decisions. There's more effort. I fully own that. Dating today takes more effort because we're not dating by chance. You have to date with focus. But I would rather have choice, John.
And, you know, I always say, and I know it's easier said than done, but use dating as a way to connect to and learn more about yourself instead of dating as a way to find someone, you know, to be with forever, or, you know, depending on, you know, what kind of relationship you're looking for. But there's so much pressure with that, you know? And so if you're saying, okay, I'm single, it's time for me to find out more about me, and I'm going to use apps and dating as the way to do it. To me, that's exciting. To me, that's where you're pulling from a curiosity point, place. And you're kind of smashing this whole ticking clock. A lot of my clients, mostly women in their 30s, they're lying with desperation because of that clock, because they think, okay, they start doing math and shit, you know, kids, marriage. And it's like, no, stop. What kind of love experience do you want? Who do you want to be when you meet the person that you want to invest in? You know, let that
and
be the
really,
question.
When we think about it, who you choose to partner with, that's the most important decision that you will ever make. And yet that's the decision that most people leave to chance. Like, oh, I'll just know it when I see it, or when it happens, it happens. Right. Or what do they say? It'll happen to you when you're least expecting it.
Yeah.
No, it won't. Every client that I've worked with, the ones that are like, I'm just going to see what happens, don't get the results. When they come to me and they say, look, I've been doing it this way for this many years and I want this relationship. I have absolute clarity on how I want to feel in a relationship. And that relationship is very important to me. Then we do it. It happens fast.
Is that a form of hiding or fear when people say, I'm just going to give it to the universe and I'm just going to, manifest by imagining and gonna get off the apps, and then I just hope that one day I'll, you know, our shopping carts will collide at the supermarket. Is that you know, is that, or is that like just watching too many rom-coms? And
I think it's a little bit of fear
because dating is action oriented. It's active. You have to get off the couch. You have to say yes to social events. You have to actually pick up your phone or write a pro. You got to do all these things that take action. You can't just cross your fingers.
Yeah. I think we're really exhausted too. Like we were talking about the communication earlier, like we're exhausted from all of these attempts, all of these notifications and messages, and it does take effort. But you know, this is why I tell my clients, like my program's only 10 weeks. I'm like, I do not want you grinding on the dating apps, not grinding in that way, but you know, I don't want you to make dating your number one focus forever and ever and feel depleted and wondering why that person is not coming into your life. I want you to give it focused effort for 10 weeks to really be able to see how the different choices that you make get a different outcome. And really, like, the person you choose to partner with, it's going to affect everything. It's going to affect your finances. It's going to affect your mental health.
Yeah.
It's going to affect your family, everything else. So could you make that your number one focus for 10 weeks? That's sure. That's not a huge ask for the most important decision you're ever going to make in your life.
Yeah. Damona, thank you for this conversation. Thank you for all the work that you do and that you've been doing for so long. Dating is such a terrifying, for many people, it's a long tunnel, and you help them through that. So thank you for all of that.
Yeah, you're welcome. And thank you for having me. I obviously I'm a big fan of yours. I love having you on Dates and Mates, and it's great to be able to share what I know with your people as well.
Yeah, thank you. So check out Dates and Mates. And of course, her new book is coming out. And where can we find you on social?
I'm at Damona Hoffman on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and at Dear Damona on TikTok. That was a very vulnerable thing for me to say.
You know, your voice changed. Your voice changed.
I'm new to TikTok. And I'm, you know, beginner's mind here. So,
We can't wait to see you dancing and doing all the things on TikTok.
I will not be dancing. I love
also,
to dance, but no.
You have an amazing voice. Has anyone ever told you that? I just noticed this. You have this amazing, like, voiceover voice. It's very soothing. It's like wine.
Ah, thank you. I do love wine. And I have done voiceover for some of the shows I've hosted, but I've never done it as a career. But I do this podcast, Dates and Mates. We're actually coming up on season 10.
Wow.
So, and that's in years. So I've really been committed to helping people with my voice for a long time. And I'm just excited to be able to do this work every day.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, look out for her book. You could kind of catch her everywhere, whether it's in words or television or social. Check her out. And thank you for being on my show. All right. Be well. Hey, if you have a passion for helping others and you want to create a more meaningful career or add to your current skill set, it's time to become a life coach with Lumia. When I became a life coach many years ago, there wasn't anything like this. So I developed this program alongside with Noel Cordeau, Lumia Coach Training. And it's amazing. It's 100% live and online, meaningful, evidence-based education, real people, real community, ICF accredited to, with 20 diverse instructors and a thriving alumni community. Go to theangrytherapist.com and click on Become a Coach and explore Lumia Coach Training. I'll see you in class.